even though we're well into February, but because we've been blessed by those that have spoken, it happens to be the third one is today. So the first one was something about, how do we put it, something that God can do. Now, there's a choice of either seashells here or roses, depending on which your preference is. If you're the person that knows that verse, it was a verse that I spoke about, it would be 6 or 8 weeks ago now, a wee while ago, so it's well worth a box of chocolates. And it was something about God doing something. It's a sort of a key verse and message at the start of the year. Can anybody remember that? It's well worth it, I'd have to say, but can you remember what that was? Something about, the biggest clue I can give, God doing something. And do you want a first couple of words to start you off? He who were the first two words. Ah. Very good. Come up, Jennifer. Well done. Now, which one would you like here? You don't have to share them with all of us, though it's wonderful if you do. The seashells, that's great. Awesome. Take this back. That's great. Now, the second one, the second choice, it was only a few weeks ago. We had Georgia and Cull in the meantime, but it was another one about, and you saw Jonathan running all around the church following a power lead, believe it or not. Now, I hope it wasn't like the Hyundai ad, the one we mentioned a few weeks ago with the wee kids driving, and everyone loved the ad but couldn't remember the make of car. Now, can you remember the verse? Jonathan was running around with a power cord all around the church, etc., and it was part of a verse. You remember what that was? Something about a race. You'd have to do better for a box of chocolates, but it was something about a race. Yes, Tina. Yes, it was about that. I need the verse, but very good. That's a good step. Big hint from Tina. There was something specific. Well done. There was something specific about the path. Very close. Let's build on that. So, yes, Grace. Close. Hebrews 12. Yes. Good. Very good. Run with endurance the race that's set before us. There you go. You don't want the chocolates? Well, we've got a dilemma. Box of chocolates that are not wanted. Tina, come and grab them. Well done. Big hand for Tina. Tina got us on the right track. Thank you very much. Enjoy them. Awesome. No, that's good. Well done. Well done. So today, the third message is a little different, and it comes from a sobering part of the Bible. It's the book of Hosea, and perhaps, Jill, if we can put those other two verses up. So building on what we did 2 weeks ago in 1 Thessalonians 5, I think, he who calls you is faithful and also will do it. And then the second verse we had in the end of Hebrews 12:1, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. If you have your Bibles, it'll be up on the overhead. I'd like to read a couple of verses out of Hosea. It's Hosea chapter 10, verse 10. They may seem a little obscure, but it should become clear as we continue. So if we look up here at Hosea, wonderful, reading from verse 10 of chapter 10. When it's my desire, I will chasten them. People shall be gathered against them when I bind them for their two transgressions. Ephraim is a trained heifer that loves to thresh grain, but I harnessed her fair neck. I will make Ephraim pull a plow. Judah shall plow. Jacob shall break his clods. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Let's pray together. Father God, as we begin to turn to your word, as we have a number of times this morning already, we rely on it, we depend on it as our hope, our life, our sustenance. And we thank you for all that you are saying to us this morning. Speak to us, Lord, as our country is in many ways similar to the situation that Hosea spoke to there. Show us what it is that you would want us to do with the parts of this passage. Show us how we would respond to your word and its challenge in sowing and reaping. We thank you that you had raised Hosea up at such a time to speak to the nation, or the nations at the time he did. And these words are here for us today to listen and respond as we will. Father, we just ask that we would respond in the way that you would want us to have us this morning at this passage. Amen. First, I must issue a disclaimer. I went to an ordination at the local Anglican church, St. Augustine's. New vicar and his wife, who will also be co-pastoring, I guess would be the word, shortly, started on Monday, and I was at the service on Monday night. Someone spoke on this very passage, and it inspired me in the context of what was spoken about, because at the start of it, I had a feeling, as soon as he spoke, I thought, there's something here for Beckenham. So as the person spoke, and he was the missional leader for a wider group of churches, he said, maybe this is a word for this church, but maybe it's also a word for your church. And I knew as soon as he said it, this was a word for our church. Now, most of the folk that went there, of course, were part of the church where the ordination was happening, but a number were visiting as well. And the passage he spoke about was this passage here. If we go back to verse 11, thanks, Jill. It says here in verse 11, two things at the end. It's sort of 11C once again. Judah shall plough and Jacob shall break his clods. In case you're wondering what's out in front of us here, as you can see, we have a little bit of gardening to do. And I wondered what was the significance of this little part. A quick history lesson, if we could. Imagine that the nation of Israel had broken to very much almost what we have today in New Zealand. A country that arguably is turning its heart away from God, a country that is moving away from a position that is colloquially known as God's own, but arguably has for some time been turning its heart steadfastly away and following other gods. This had happened to the nation of Israel at this stage, and there was the larger northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, and the smaller southern kingdom of 2 tribes. And I guess in terms of population, that's not dissimilar to what we see in the North Island and the South Island. And the division was even more dramatic, as it were, than the Cook Strait that we have dividing the North and South Islands. There were different gods that were followed, both away from the true God. But the sense was happening that the nation, as it was pulling itself further and further apart, would eventually self-destruct. And the verse that I've picked out here in verse 12, if we could have a look at that, is about the only positive verse in all of Hosea. So it makes for some pretty grim reading. So why am I bringing this verse as an encouragement and as sort of, a foundational verse at the start of the year? I felt challenged on Monday night when I heard this, but also I believe there's something significant here. And the charge that was given in this particular passage that Hosea said is there's a couple of things that need to be done. Sorry, back to verse 11 if we could. There are two things that need to be done. Judah, which was, as it were, the southern tribe shall plough, sorry, the northern tribe shall plough, and Jacob shall break his clods. These things here are clods. Big clumps of dirt that are really hard. So the challenge here was two phrases. One is to harrow or to break clods, and one is to plough. These are two different functions that need to be taken to turn fallow ground, as we see in verse 12, into something that is fruitful and productive. Just a little bit of agronomy that went on back in early days. The ground was left fallow every 7 years, left for a year in order to gather more moisture for breakdown of vegetable matter or dead matter in order that it be more productive in the following 6. What they did discover, though, is in some parts of the fallow ground, if it was left even for just the year, it ended up, rather than sort of gathering moisture and being able to break down and decompose and become better soil, it grew tremendous amounts of weeds. So there was always a factor that the fallow ground, if left too long, if left to its own devices, as it were, would only grow weeds rather than become productive. So the challenge in this verse to break up your fallow ground is to consider, has this fallow ground been left too long? And in this part here, there was a charge to those in ministry, which is all of us here, to consider two things. In the ministry, in the church, in our own private lives, there are two things to consider. One is the ploughing, and secondly, the harrowing. So as far as ploughing, I want to consider a phrase, old is gold. Now, ploughing is the most equivalent thing we can do here in a garden is when we dig in, and I've never done this, but seen my folks do this, when you dig in green feed. So, good, it didn't drop it, eh? So when you do that, you're basically digging in stuff from the top, you're turning it over and putting it at the bottom. And I guess last year's green feed or fertilizer or whatever that was at the bottom then comes to the top. And the purpose of ploughing is that anything that's alive at the top, if it's a good green manure, as it were, is turned to the bottom and is there for next year, and the stuff that's already decomposed comes to the top. The soil gets a chance to breathe. But when I use the phrase old as gold, it's the stuff that's been there for a year and has, if you like, been decomposing, been turning into soil, is really going to be ready to grow the best possible things for the new year or the new time it's turned over, and that becomes gold. What it is really, though, is rotted stuff or old stuff from before that is, hopefully that will sit there, old stuff from before that's been left in such a way as it's available now to grow with the nutrients at the surface. An example of ploughing. Now, you may be aware that, and I want to honour Rosemary for filling out our submission for the end of life bill here as a church. She's done a wonderful job at that, and that's going with our names on it towards Parliament. There may be those that feel to do oral submissions. There's a number of other opportunities that we may have. But what it struck me this week as we were looking and considering this is a general call for us as Christians to honour life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life in all its abundance. While the enemy comes to kill, steal and destroy, I have come that you may have life. And many years ago, there was an organization called SPUC. The president and founder of SPUC used to be here at Beckenham. I think back in the Columbus Street days, so I'm not exactly sure when the sort of the time was. And she found over the years it became less and less and less popular, even in churches, to speak about the sanctity of life in all its forms. And as we as a nation have decided that life on either ends of the scale, the very old or the very young or the very infirm, no longer are worthy of living, we're starting to put legislation and justification around this. Thinking of the old as gold principle, this is something that is well buried. This is something that is fertilized many, many years ago. This idea that life is sacred. And maybe, just maybe, there are those that are going to say, we need to consider what it is to use this as a witness and an example of who we are as Christians, to bring again from the bottom this understanding. It's probably not going to be called the old name, not at all. It may encompass all aspects of life. But this is an example of ploughing where an entirely new thing comes out of the old. The gold comes out of the old. I'm not trying to sort of lay a burden on anyone here today, but I wonder if there is something rising up. This is an example of ploughing, a complete lifting up again from something that was there before. Now, while I can do an illustration here with the fork, it's very difficult to do that, but in your mind's eye, because some of these analogies break down a bit, has anyone done green manuring? Do you know what I mean by that, where you dig the dirt and turn it over completely? Yep. Wonderful. So if you can imagine that, I'm sorry I won't be able to do it, I'll rip up the floorboards, but it's a complete turning over of what has been there. So if we think of ploughing, we think of old is gold. What is turned over and done again? It's not necessarily something new, because I guess in the scheme of things, nothing is ever really completely new, or there may be new expressions and fresh expressions of way that things have been done before. So the encouragement here is that in the verse before, that in sowing and reaping, there firstly becomes a ploughing and a harrowing. So as far as ploughing is concerned, it was left to those, the larger group. If we could have a look at the verse before, thanks, Jill. The larger group, because it took a lot more energy to start something. The larger nation was called to plough, and the smaller nation here in this context was called to harrow. And when the larger nation needed to plough in many villages, or even way, way back in the day, a group of oxen or a team of oxen was employed by the whole village. No one had the ability with their own oxen or their own, certainly not a horse, it wasn't strong enough to do that. So there was one team of oxen per village, and there was one set of ploughshares per village. So when you wanted your particular paddock done, you called on the team or the group to do it. And that is often the way that things start, that is significance, old from the new, gold from the old, as it were. So this is the context here of ploughing. The second part here, I need a couple of volunteers, and I know how willing you are to volunteer, etc. So if we'll just see if there's a couple of volunteers who would like to help me with the harrowing part. You know, good. Now, I'm for you disqualified, sorry, only with one arm. Although you could probably, no, you can do something. Yes, you can do something. So Nick up here with one arm. Very keen. Anybody else? We might need a bit of a hand, particularly with Nick. So try not to catch Will's eye, etc. Oh, wonderful. Good on you, sir. We're all sorted. Thank you very much. And you, sir, your name? Bill, wonderful. Bill, great to have you here. Now, you've done some gardening before, I gather, over the years.
I was a farmer, so I'm very familiar with ploughing and disking and harrowing and all that work.
Fantastic. Well, this is awesome. This is not scripted, I promise you. This is just, has completely happened by chance. Bill, tell us the reason why you harrow and disk as opposed to ploughing.
Well, the plough, and most of them nowadays have multiple ploughs, some of them in Australia are meters and meters wide, it turns the topsoil over and buries it, and then that dies, but you've still got the clods, so the disking and the harrowing breaks it up until it's nice and fine and can take the seed. I mean, if you put seed in there, what's going to grow? So it makes it nice and fine and, yeah.
Isn't that awesome? Thank you very much. Now, have a seat, guys. I'm going to get you up in a few moments here. So we have our volunteers lined it up. Now, hopefully you can all see this. I'm sorry, it's sort of down the front a bit. You may have to imagine there'll be noise and accompanying sound effects that will help with this as well. Four things if we think about harrowing. Weed, seed, need, and feed. Now, hopefully a few weeks' time when there's another box of chocolates on offer, we'll remember some of these things. So ploughing, old as gold, harrowing, weed, seed, feed and need. Now the need in here is there are some clods that need to be broken. That's the first thing. Now a harrow is, if you like, a mechanical version of this. As Bill has said, there's a disc harrow or chain harrows which are used in order to break it down. So what we need here is one of our volunteers. If it's a one-arm thing, by all means, Nick, or have a crack here. So the first thing we need to do is to break the clods. Now that can be done with a rake, so have a crack here. They're pretty hard clods, so give it a good... sorry, Nick, you're making a bit too much noise. We can't carry on with what we're doing when you're making that noise. And it's taking a little bit long. I'd like you to work faster and quieter, please. It's possible. And now you're making a mess. Okay, I'm going to get you to stop that. Thank you very much. Go and take a seat. Pretty hard taskmaster. So here's someone who wants to do the work of God. He's told here there are clods to be broken, and we tell him what? It's too noisy, it's too loud, it's too messy, and while you're doing it, we can't get on with what we're doing. So breaking the clods is all of those things. It's loud, it's annoying, it's messy, but it needs to be done. We can't do the weed, seed, and feed until we've done the need. And this needs to be done even in the midst of what's going on. Now, this morning, or rather this week, here's a little example of that. I had guys down here on Wednesday, and you may remember there was a couple of Dynabolts sticking out of the, a little cloth around it last week. A couple of Dynabolts sitting out on the entrance last week. We needed to get them cut out because they were great things you'd trip over literally on the way into church. But of course, to get Dynabolts out, you can't just extract them quietly. You need to grind them out. To do that requires a lot of noise, a lot of sparks, a lot of heat, etc. And the person who did a wonderful job, but they did it right in the middle of a crucial conversation. A hot day on Wednesday, the windows were open, etc. And I found myself thinking, how can I get the guy to get rid of those Dynabolts grinding without making any noise? But grinding and breaking and getting rid of the clods takes noise. And it takes time. And it gets in the way of what we're doing. So we're going to have to put up with Nick. And perhaps Bill, if you'd like to actually, I'll give Bill a crack here. So Bill has been a farmer for many years. He'll know best how to break these up quietly and without making a noise or without being distracting. Wonderful. So as you can see here, there is no way around it. Breaking up the clods. Now the harrowing aspect, here as you can see, carry on Bill, you're doing a wonderful job. The ploughing aspect is something new. Gold from old, where something new comes up there. The harrowing aspect is regarding something that is already there. It may be a ministry. It may be something we're involved with that has come to a stage where there are things that need to be broken up. Clods that need to be broken. And then after that, we see that because the clods have been broken and the ground is ready, there are weeds that need to be removed. Following on for weeds that need to be removed, once that is done, there is then seed that, well, it's looking good, keep going, there's that big gnarly one there, but needs to be broken. So you get stuck in there, that's right. Make a noise, bit of clay, that's great. He's doing a wonderful job. Bill hasn't been here very long, but he's just such a wonderful, helpful worker. Thank you, Bill. And then lastly, there is the feeding of the seed that needs to go here. So as you can see, it isn't always convenient, and I would like to get on with the next bit of my message, but Bill hasn't broken up all the clods. So what are we going to do? We're going to say, actually, should we just... Yeah. Very good point. Very good point. Now, Bill, if you come back to the microphone again, you've done a lovely job. What would happen if we said, that's good enough, we haven't got time to break up all the clods, we'll just break up about a third of them and get on? What would happen then?
Well, you go back to the Bible, and it says, Jesus said about planting seeds. Now, some fell on the rough ground and didn't grow much, and others were amongst the weeds, and they got choked. But those that were in the good ground, they produced the fruit.
What a fantastic answer. Once again, not scripted. So thank you, Bill. That's wonderful. Now, unfortunately, we'll have to carry on because the job needs to be done. We've only done about a third of it. And as you've said, rightly, unless it's done, there's no point planting. So as you can see, sometimes the breaking of the clods takes a lot longer than you think. The problem with these analogies is sometimes they break down. When I was thinking this in my mind's eye, I thought, oh, these clods won't take long at all. Then we can get on with the next bit. But as you can see, Bill can feel put upon here because he's thinking, well, why am I the only one breaking clods? Everyone else is sitting around enjoying things, and here I am breaking clods that have to be done. So as you can see, the breaking of the clods, the need for the breaking of the clods is noisy and it's messy and it takes time and I have to speak over him, and it still carries on for a much longer time than maybe we think. That's awesome. Thanks, Bill. That's a stone. That'd be hard to break, wouldn't it? Yeah, wonderful. Thank you very much. So as you can see, if you're involved in the ministry and you know that God is saying something to you today about harrowing, about raking, about preparing, don't be surprised if it takes a lot longer, it's noisier, it's more distracting, and it's not what you think when you end up. Because in our mind's eye, we see this wonderfully, finely tilled area or amount of soil, and even with all that effort, now unfortunately I chucked a few bits of clay in there. That's not flash for growing stuff, but it just happened to be there. So maybe there's stuff to be removed when the clods are broken up or before that's the case. The second thing is, Nick, I think you can do this. There is a need for some weeding. Now we have our token weed here. Now because the clods have been broken up, as you can see, without giving it away, can you remove those weeds? Okay, just the weeds, not the soil. Wonderful. Put them to one side so they won't. That's right. You have to give them a bit of a whack on the ground. Awesome. And to one side. That's just one side. That's good. Over here. Lovely. So we've now done the weeding part, which is a key part of harrowing. When a disc harrow or a chain harrow or a rake is taken over land, once the clods have been removed, the second thing that happens is weeds are pulled out of the ground, as Nick is doing here manually and could also do with the rake, in order that it's ready for the seeding and the feeding. Now notice that we've used two different people here. Bill with expertise and abilities in doing that, and Nick with expertise and abilities, wonderful, got rid of all of the weeds here. Thank you, take a seat. Now the next part may call for a third member of the team, someone with quite a delicate hand. Now I'm not saying that Bill doesn't have that, or Nick doesn't with his right hand, but do we have someone that has a very delicate hand, for want of a better way of doing it, an ability to use their skills to very carefully spread the seed around. Who might that be? Is there someone else here? Will, might that be you? You might be up for that. Good on you, buddy. So here's the seed. I don't know how chia seed grows, black chia seeds, but nonetheless, some seeds I happen to find in the pantry. So what we're going to do here is, I want you to spread them nice and carefully around here, Will. If I can get it open. Now, we'll give you, put your hands out, just cup them together. That's great. Now, do chia seeds even grow in New Zealand? Not sure. Doesn't matter for the purpose of the illustration. I want you to spread them very evenly. No pressure. As evenly as you can, spread them all around our wonderfully fine, weeded and neat. Look at that. Absolutely beautiful. So as we can see here, Will has decided that now, and only now, is it ready for the seeds. It has taken some time, some energy. Bill's worked to sweat up. Nick's had to get down and dirty with the weeds. And only now, thank you very much. And you can just lick those off if you want. That's great. Enjoy those. They're quite good for you, I believe. So we've now, thank you, Will, we've now spread the seed amongst here. And one more thing is needed. And the, Water, yes, actually. That doesn't fit in my four letters, but there will be some water needed and eventually we'll do that, absolutely. But one more thing I'd like to do here. You might think this is custard powder. It's not actually custard powder, it's fertilizer. So I wonder if someone here could actually be responsible for, oopsie-daisy, that didn't work very well, feeding very carefully these seeds that have been seeded in the ground that has been neededly got rid of clods and has been weeded. So it's been needed, weeded and seeded, it now needs to be fed. So who would like to do that? Does someone have an ability just to carefully spread this pretend fertilizer? Good on you, Jennifer. Wonderful. So now this is tricky because this is very, very fine. Now what's the problem? Now Bill might be able to help us here. What's the problem if you put too much fertilizer in clumps? What happens? It burns. It doesn't just slow it down or stop it. Too much fertilizer in the wrong place actually burns the seed. Now, some of us here are fertilizers, which is wonderful. But sometimes if there's too much of us in one place and it's not spread around, it might actually be counterproductive to what's done here. Now, this will be tricky, Jennifer, and you've got a hospital pass here. Well, you can either put your hands in there, that's fine, but very finely, just spread it. Don't be shy. It probably needs a handful for that area there. Spread that amongst the whole area. Great, great. So spread that nice and evenly amongst there. And now we can't put any more on because that will burn it. Have we got enough on this end? No, sorry. No, we'll burn it. How are we going to spread that out a bit more evenly? Because that's a very good job, but it's not quite as even as it might be. What are we going to have to do?
Get
the rake again. Thank you. Well, I'd love you to do that. Look, there's such perfectly scripted answers today. You think I'd set people up. I genuinely have not, but Jennifer answered that perfectly. So now we've come back full circle. Yes, the clods have been broken up, but there is a need for more tilling, more upsetting of things. Because someone would say, that's a lovely pattern we've got there. The seeds have been beautifully distributed by Will. Nick has got the weeds out. Bill has got rid of the clods. And Jennifer has wonderfully fed all those seeds. And I think that will do. But actually, sometimes there's a need to come back full circle for those folk that were first involved to say, actually, I think I need the ministration of the harrow again. There is a need to mix it up. Wonderful. Thank you very much. And thank you. Take a seat. And you're right there, Neville. Were we to put a whole lot of water in this, one day we may have some chia seeds growing. Who knows? We might get inspired and do that and put a little bit of proper fertilizer here. So could I encourage you today at the start of the year in this passage that there are things that need to be done. And in any particular agronomy or agricultural setting or horticultural setting, those two things are needed. The gold from the old, a need to completely turn over and bring up the old stuff that was there that is ready to be available again. But once the big stuff is done, the small stuff is done, the harrowing, the need to break up the clods, the weeding that needs to be done so nothing else is competing, then the seeding, and lastly the feeding. So I wonder for each of us here what that might mean for us in ministry. What might the application response be that we could make to this understanding and the call in the midst of a challenging situation? In the midst of a nation that had turned its back on God, that was now split into north and south, not unlike ours geographically, who basically said we don't need to do anything more. We have all that we need. And in the most positive part, the challenges either side of this verse, we see here, sow for yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. At the start of the year is as good a time as any to consider what it is God might be saying to us. The areas of fallow ground around the edge that need the plow. That's a dramatic turning over. The other areas that need the harrow, the clods broken up, the weeds removed, new seeds to be planted and need to be well fed. What are you involved with ministry-wise that needs the application of the harrow or the rake or something that is preparing finally what has been done coarsely, as it were, with plough? I want to pray and close today, and as I do so, I just would pray the Lord would bring to mind the areas for us where this is relevant for us in ploughing and harrowing. Let's all pray together. Father God, we thank you for the sense of the gold from old, the idea of young adults that has been at, as it were, in fallow ground now for 7 years. Very interesting, we think of that number. And now again, we have a young adults group because there is something of an idea, something of a ministry that, for whatever reason, 7 years ago didn't happen, is now underway. So, Father, I thank you for the ploughing that has been done by Andrew and Megan in turning or bringing to fruition something that many years ago was started. And while there has been a young adults group for the women for a number of years, there is now one for the young men as well, and a combined group. So, Father, we thank you for that gold from old example. Lord, maybe the starting of things is a rare thing, and rightly so, and requires many people and much energy. But probably more relevant for us today would be the harrowing, the aspects of where it is that you would be saying to us, hey, there's some clods. The ground is fallow and that's been dug up and ready to go. It's been ploughed and ready to go. But maybe there's areas where there's clods that need to be broken up. And in the midst of where we want to carry on and get things done, there's still more clods to be broken up. And we think, Lord, I thought it was all done. And the only way to get rid of clods is to smash them. They can't be encouraged to break up. They can't be gently broken. They need to be whacked on the top by a chain or a disc or a rake. So, Father, while this is a bold prayer to pray, and I'm praying on behalf of others, please, Lord, we ask permission, or we give you permission to apply what it is to break up those clods, knowing it will be noisy and messy and maybe quite hard. Also, Lord, we pray for the seeds, or the weeds rather, that may have infected our ministry. Resources, time, energy going into something that we do but is producing weeds rather than good plants and fruitful plants. Everything else is in place, but weeds are growing instead. Give us the boldness, Lord, to pull out the weeds and say, this is a distraction. This is not what you want for this ministry. This is not the direction it was meant to go. But all of that preparation is just producing weeds. And Lord, when those two things are done, when the painful process of that is done, show us the seeds and those who would seed into the ministry. The courses, perhaps, the input, the events like this weekend where we're able to come along and be reseeded and be productive and fruitful in the way that you'd want us to do. As Sandra and others speak in our nation, would they seed again into ministries things that would be productive and fruitful? And lastly, Lord, put us around those and bring those across our paths who are the feeders. Those who would feed into something that has been sown. And ultimately, when the water comes over a long period of time, we see productive ground. So, Father, show us in the midst of a gritty situation, a nation that is very many ways mirroring the nation of Israel when Hosea was speaking. Take us to the most positive parts that we can sow in righteousness and reap in mercy, breaking up our fallow ground. We thank you, Lord, for the principles of ploughing and harrowing and applying them to our lives. Give us the boldness, give us the courage, and give us the openness to talk one with another that we may see and understand what this is all about. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us. Amen. Don.
Just here. Plant the good seed of righteousness, and you will reap a crop of my love. Plough the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, and that he may come and share our salvation upon you.
Awesome. Thank you.